as always, on Mondays at 5:30, Brent Beard joins of First Coast News and co-host of the SEC and Helping podcast. Brent, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing okay. It's a we're on the verge of March, which is frankly one of the better sports for college athletics with the tournament and also with spring football beginning everywhere. That is, listen, I think it's Coastal Carolina, but there's actually a team this week that has its spring game. I believe it's on Thursday. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, it is. It just comes up on you so fast. I mean, we're done with college football, you know, a couple of months, or not even a couple of months ago, and we've already got spring football prepped. It just, you know, is proof that the college football season is always going on.
Well, we're glad for it. I really don't have any problem with that at all. But by the way, a couple of things. Art Briles will not be taking that offensive coordinator job at Grambling. That did not work out. And I know this is an off-the-field stuff, but it's important. Dr. Matt Ray, who is also with Alabama, is leaving for a job with the Saints. He did a lot of really good things in Alabama, so you can never underestimate what you've got with your strength and conditioning people. And by the way, Drew, Bama's recently hired as analyst Derek Dooley, Todd Grantham, and Zach Mettenberger, by the way.
Yeah.
So that really is amazing. Yes, I found that when I was looking for. Spring practice is underway at Boston College, BYU, Coastal Carolina, Georgia Tech, Nebraska, and Pitt. 12 more start this week, and Coastal Carolina's spring game is Thursday.
Holy cow. I have to confess, I did check Athlon and Lindy's the other day to see when the college football magazines would be coming out, and we have to wait until May, which is so excruciating, but nonetheless, college football is right around the corner, and it'll be here before you know it. Speaking of college football, here in the Panhandle, Austin Reed, who's the quarterback was the quarterback at University of West Florida, what was the runner-up for D2's version of the Heisman, he has entered the transfer portal, and there is a story in The Athletic that he's been getting looks from Power 5 schools, including Ole Miss. He had talked to Charlie Weiss Jr., about Ole Miss and had interviews set up to talk to Northwestern and Arizona State, but he's getting some looks from the D1 level. How can the transfer portal help guys who are Division II? Is it more of a help than a hindrance for guys at the D2 level who are looking to try to make their way up to the Division I level and fulfill their dream?
Well, my thing is, if you can play, you can play. And look, these guys know it. Who are recruiting them? So would you be taking a gamble? I would say yeah, you probably would, because you never know what kind of competition. It certainly wouldn't be Division I competition, but I mean, if you take a gamble on a guy like that, and it's and it really works, it obviously would be a really, really great move. The kid that was in Cornet Ward, who signed in the Pac-12, I think it was Washington State.
Yeah.
Cam Ward, I believe is his name. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're taking a chance with a guy like that too. But at some point, I mean, don't you do the same thing, Drew, with a JUCO kid?
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Frankly, I mean, if you've got again, some of these guys are frankly well worth spending the a scholarship on if you can bring them in and for them to work.
While it is a risk, it could potentially pay some really big dividends, and I think with Cam Ward too. his offensive coordinator at Incarnate Word, if I remember correctly, I believe, or the head coach is going to be the offensive coordinator at Washington State. I think that is the case, or it's something like that, where somebody from Incarnate Word is going up there, and that is something, of course, that can influence his decision, because he was getting looks from schools like Ole Miss and some of the other Power Five schools around the country.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that makes a big difference. And sometimes you just take a chance on these guys, don't you? I mean, it's a particularly if you're a guy like Lane Kiffin. Now, you can get too many quarterbacks in a quarterback room, but if you're Lane Kiffin and you can really coach quarterbacks, regardless of whoever you are, it's probably worth that chance.
It definitely could be. Nick Saban, I don't know if you saw this, Brent, but Nick Saban calling out some of his players for the national championship performances. It wasn't necessarily by name, but he said there's three guys, essentially. He made it seem like it was at the wide receiver position, and he mentioned John Metchie and Jameson Williams, of course, going down, all of which Ajayi Hall is one of them, I think, without question. You could maybe debate the other two, but how? And it seemed to be mixed reaction from this. Some fans seemed to say, Brent, this is a reason why Coach Saban is one of the best, because he knows how to motivate his players. Other people were saying it maybe was a little bit harsh for him to call them out, not necessarily publicly, but in a nature. I believe it was at a coach's sort of convention. What was your initial reaction to Coach Saban saying those things?
Well, I mean, when you've got the kind of depth that he's got, you can do that. I'm sure he's trying to light a fire under him. And the truth of the matter is, he made a real point to that. Now, there's a couple ways of looking at that. One of them is he is right, and they should be ready, frankly. Now, look, your Alabama fans listening to this will understand this, but there was Alabama was ahead, and they threw a ball down to the 5-yard line from Bryce Young to Jay Hall. Hall was at the 5-yard line, and he did not position his hands correctly, or he would have caught the ball. Alabama, particularly, and the thing I mean by that real briefly is Devontae Smith, when he won the Heisman Trophy, and all the good Alabama receivers catch the ball with their hands. He did not try to do that, and because of that, that was a real problem. So, that's one way of looking at it. Yes, they should have been ready, and if they would have been concentrating probably in practice, they would have done that. My other comeback to this, Drew, is those kids should have played more, and that one that there are very few, if any, complaints that I have with anything Nick Saban has done, but the reality of it is that is one of them. It is they have this NFL mentality that says that we're only going to play so many players. Well, the problem is if they had played those three guys more during the season, they may have known what to do. So, frankly, it's a mixed bag. You can take either side of it. But I'll say this, very few coaches can get by with that statement like Saban did.
If you look at Ajayi Hall's stats, I mean, he only caught four balls. He only played in three games. So, in terms of the experience, and there were other games where Alabama was winning by a significant enough margin that you maybe throw him in there for a few plays even just to get his legs under him a little bit. Very, very, very interesting, his comments. Jumping to college basketball real quick. So, a ridiculously wild weekend in terms of top 10 teams falling, 7 of them in total. Of course, we had the one top 10 matchup. But if there's two SEC schools in the top 10, 4 in the top 15, to you, with just a couple games left, who needs to win their last two games and get going in the SEC tournament? See, get, you know, a couple teams on the bubble of Florida, maybe even LSU now. Who are a couple of teams that have to win their last two games to try to build some momentum up to have a good SEC tournament?
Florida is easily one of them, and that's got to happen. They had a real opportunity with Arkansas, could not do it. Now, Florida has got Kentucky this weekend, and Kentucky, look, beating Kentucky would have really been or would be a tremendous for Florida. Imagine beating Auburn and Kentucky basically the last 2 weeks of the season. Now, I mean, LSU, I think, is in. LSU would probably be, or at least they were a week or so ago, a 6 or 7 seed. But Florida is the one that needs it more than anybody else. Florida is still on that last four out or next to the last four out or whichever one you want to look at in order to get in. It would help them immensely for that to happen. My real concern, too, is Florida's going to have a real decision to make, Drew, either this year or next year with Mike White, because, frankly, there's been what a lot of people would say a lot of mediocrity in that basketball team that they – kind of get in by the skin of their teeth. They may win one game and then they're out. So they really need a decent run at the end of the year in these next two games in the SEC tournament.
Yeah, I was actually just about to ask you if Mike White is on the hot seat in any way, shape, or form. I mean, it seems like Florida's – they're always – with him, it seems like they've always been good enough to get into the tournament, and then a couple times,
right,
like they made that one
right
crazy run in the tournament where the guy had to hit the running floater to beat Wisconsin. But other than that, they haven't really gotten themselves, you know, fully deep into the SEC in terms of cracking that top 25 and really getting going. I think I forget what team it was earlier in the year, the Florida Gators. It was that lost to a Texas Southern at the beginning of the year. Where
right,
they had a great
right
start to the season. They were ripping win after wins, but then they lose to Oklahoma and then Texas Southern. And those are those bad losses, and like they talk about those quad three, quad four losses where they destroy your resume, that even when you beat a team like an LSU or whoever they've beaten previously, it really hurts. Even the win like Auburn, they're still on the bubble even though they beat the number two team in the country.
Well, and the problem was a couple weeks ago, in the net rankings, they were in the problem is they were in the 50s, and you really need to be more than anything else in the 40s during that time. Florida is 51, Mississippi State is 52, so that's a win over Kentucky would help them immensely. I think the other issue with this, too, Drew, quickly, is Florida is still going to be paying off Dan Mullen. And how much money do they want to spend right now on paying off a basketball coach and then hiring another one? I mean, look, it's not that Florida doesn't have the money, but would – would you have a situation with Scott Strickland where he would say something similar to, well, let's give this one more year, and at that point the buyout would be easier, and we could probably do it at that point. So all that is something to watch.
Definitely is. He's Brent Beard. Appreciate the time as always, Brent. You have a fantastic rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, bud. Take care.